Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Deacon Gary, for this nice introduction. And it's an honor and a privilege for me to be with the St. Michael's community. And, of course, some of you I've known for many years. St. Michael's is kind of also kind of a second home to me. You know, I know a lot of people from St. Michael's through the many years that I've been in this community. A lot of it through association with the Knights of Columbus, because when I joined the Knights of Columbus, I joined the council here. We did not have one at St. Jerome at that time. And so I am very fortunate to know a lot of the members of St. Michael's, and so glad to be here with you. And so I was asked by Jeannie back in Lent, would I be interested in coming and doing a talk with this faith formation program that you have? And I said, sure. You know, just tell me when, and just make sure I don't have any conflicts. And thanks be to God, I didn't have any conflicts. And then I promptly forgot all about it. You know, and then she reminded me about a month ago or so, and I said, holy smokes, I hope I don't have any conflicts now. You know. But no, and more than anything, I was hoping that it didn't conflict, because we'd already planned a trip to go see our daughter in North Carolina in early mid-November, somewhere around there, and I was hoping that, but it worked out. You know, God is good, right? So things always work out. And she said, we're doing the theme is on Jesus and various of the main, what did you call them, main ideas?
Four big ideas.
Yeah, the four big ideas. Well, I'm the second big idea. Right? And so let me move this, because I might trip on it. Yeah. So Jesus Christ, right? To know him is to love him, right? And that was kind of the idea, is how do we get to know Jesus and how do we get to love him? To know him is to love him, right? And so I want to start with just some very basic questions, you know, that we all, it's kind of rhetorical in a sense, but it's also kind of to get us into thinking about, well, you know, why is it that we know what we know, think what we think, and that sort of thing, right? Who has sinned God? And, you know, we hear about Jacob having a struggle with God, and you know, going up the ladder, and Jacob ends up saying, you know, I saw God face to face, and yet my life has been spared, right? So we hear those references, right? But did Jacob actually see God? Did Moses? You know, we know a lot about Moses, right? He was commanded by God to go free his people who were in bondage, okay? So the other question that I want to pose is, has anyone conversed with God? And who? Okay. Well, we know about Abraham, right? He was called and visited by God. You know, he received his call, and he was visited by essentially angels, spirits, right? They were in the form of men. They came, you know, and it was when basically God told him after Abraham and Sarah being disappointed they didn't have children, that, you know, but it's, so the angels came and basically told him, well, you're going to have a child. You know, you didn't believe it, but here it is. You know, is it, it's the saying goes, you know, careful what you pray for, because you're going to get it, right? You know, all right? So so we have that aspect, right? Moses talked to God. Did he? Well, God called him, and he kind of had a conversation, but he was talking to a bush, right, that was never not being consumed by the fire, okay? And then later on, as we know the history of our faith, Moses continued to talk to God, and God to him, in the pillar of the cloud and the fire as they're going through their 40-year journey through the desert, right? So, if we think about all this, I think the takeaway is that God always finds a way to communicate with us, to communicate with mankind. Okay? But we can't really see him. We can't really have an encounter like you and I are having this evening, right? Or like we do in regular life, right? Because only angels can see God, because they are spirit. And God is spirit, right? And so for us, it's, as humans, it's impossible until death. Because when we die, then we become spirit. We are body and soul, right? Body and spirit. And at death, then the body or the spirit is separated from the body and goes on, right? And the body will come back together with our bodies at the final resurrection, right? So, we cannot talk to God until we become that spirit. So with that in mind, I want us to listen to something. Can you hear? I'm going to move on. You get the idea, right? I figured that there would be no teenagers here, and this would be an appropriate song because they wouldn't know what this is, right? This is right, good music, right? So now that we've kind of considered that, heard our song about the spirit, because we're going to become spirits someday. Yeah. So I go back and I want to just maybe review a little bit about your first big idea, right? Who is Jesus Christ? Because I think you took that the first time, right? So so was this just a guy whose name was Jesus and his last name was Christ? Or who is Jesus Christ? So just somebody tell me, what was the big idea of the first session? What came up is, who is Jesus? Okay. Somebody else?
Son of
Okay, very good. All right. Yes. So those are very common answered and valid answers. Yet there's a lot more to who Jesus Christ is, right? And because we could not understand God adequately, God made a decision. And he says, you know what? These people don't get it. I got to go down there and be with them. You know, they need to see me, right? Because being spirit, it's a little difficult, right? So the invisible God became visible, right? Not only was Jesus the Son of God, but he was God himself, right? And he did that so that we could then have a better way to relate to him. It's the our doctrine of incarnation, right? God revealed himself as a human being. So, therefore, Jesus is God, right? And he is, as we know, he is the one true God who humbled himself in our humanity. You know, he left his place to become one of us so that we could share in his divinity. Okay? And that's an important aspect of our doctrine, right? He wanted to make himself available to us so that we could have a personal relationship with him. Okay? And in theological speak, we normally talk about that as the anthropological turn. God becomes man. God becomes man. And so again, who has seen and talked to God? Well, I propose to you that anyone that had a personal encounter with Jesus while he was on earth saw and talked to God. And because Jesus is God. And by extension, then we know who God is because he came and lived on this earth. Now granted, we're 2,000 years removed, but we know the events, we know the story, we know that he was here, and therefore he continues to be somebody that we could relate to. He was a man just like we are. He was human just like we are. He was totally human as well as totally God, right? But the emphasis on totally human so that he felt the same things we felt, right? And therefore, we can relate to him, okay? God always wanted to be, I should say, I want to emphasize, wants to be, because it always has been, it always is. God always wants to be friends with us from the very beginning. But it was difficult, as I said, because how can we be friends with somebody we cannot see? How many friends do you have that you don't see? It's not possible, right? So it's difficult because you can't see that person to relate to, right? And we can't see a spirit, so we can't be friends with a spirit. Okay? So God became human in the person of Jesus Christ, as the gentleman back there said, right? The second person of the Holy Trinity, the person of Jesus Christ. And so, let's review a little bit about what the Catechism says. So the Catechism is a great resource, sometimes very much neglected, right? oftentimes very much neglected, right? But the catechism is just a wealth of information, and just about anything you want to know about our faith and what we do and why we do it, you go to catechism and you most likely will find it there, find an answer there, right? So let's just review through the catechism. So in the very beginning, it talks about the life of man. And it very clearly says, this is probably where the big idea came from. The life of man is to know and to love God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, to know and to love God. And it says in paragraph 1 that God is perfect and totally blessed, and he doesn't need us for anything. Doesn't need anything for anything, for any, you know, for any reason. Yet, out of sheer goodness, he created us to share in his own blessed life. And it further says, and for this reason, at every time and at every place, God draws close to man, and he calls him to seek him, to know him, to love him. God is ever and always calling us to seek him, to know him, and to love him. And to accomplish this, he sent his Son as our Redeemer and Savior. It goes on to say that the desire for God is written in our human hearts, because we're created by God and for God, right? Often at funeral vigils, I talk about this image. We're created by God, and we belong to him, so our longing is to be back with him, right? So that's our home, is with God. And so, I don't know, some of you may be, so I came to this area from somewhere else, right, from the Rio Grande Valley, okay? But I always talk, when I talk about going there, is I'm going home, because that's my sense of belonging. I'm going home, right? Although I've been here more years, most of my life has now been here, or over half of my life has been here, right? Yet, when I go down to the La Feria or Harlingen now, you know, my dad moved to Harlingen, I say, I'm going home, right? And it's that sense. It's written in our hearts, and we have that longing, that desire to be with God, because that's our home, right? And although man can forget and reject him, God never ceases to call us, right? Because that's where our life and happiness is. And so my namesake, the great St. Augustine, said, you're great, O Lord, and greatly to be praised, right? And so that's part of his confessions in his book of the Confessions, right? But he ends that part by saying, for you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Right? We're looking, as the old song used to say, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Yeah? And that's why we're restless. But when we find him, our hearts are at rest. Right? And so, if I can make this work. What happened? I think it hit it one too many times. though our hearts are restless. We are called to communion with God. But this search for God demands of us every effort of the intellect, a sound will, a good heart, as well as the help of other witnesses. So, but essentially, as we're built by God, we have everything that we need to be able to seek Him and to know Him. So what are some of the ways of coming to know God? Well, the person who sees God discovers certain ways of coming to know Him, and these are called the proofs of the existence of God. And they fall into two basic categories. the world, nature, you know, the world's order, its beauty. One can acknowledge or come to the knowledge of God as the origin and as the end of the universe. Right? Right? How can you, you know, you, we come to think to ourselves, or at least I do, I think most everybody does, you know, how can so much beauty exist in the world? You know, these natural things that happen and how beautiful they are. The birds singing, the breeze on a day that just kind of just, it feels like the breath of God, you know, and it just, so those things are all around us all the time. If we just take a moment to notice them, you know, we can know that these are there because God made them. The other is, of course, the human person, okay? With his longings for infinite happiness, right? And so in that longing for infinite happiness, you know, we tend to question ourselves about the existence of God. Well, there is some supreme being, right, which we know is God, okay? Go this way. So, the world and man attest that they contain within themselves neither the first principle nor the final end, but that there exists a reality which is the first cause and the final end of all things. That is what everyone calls God, right? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, you know. The principle of, well, things have had to start somewhere, right? Somebody made the first move, and that was God. And then everything came after that, okay? And we are capable of coming to the knowledge and the existence of a personal God, okay? Because God willed both to reveal himself to us and to give us his grace, to be able to welcome his revelation in faith. Okay. So about the revelation of God. It was in his goodness and wisdom, he revealed himself to us. Okay? Because he wanted to communicate his own divine life to men, to the men that he freely created, in order to adopt us as his sons and daughters in his only begotten Son. And in the divine plan of revelation, God communicates himself to man gradually, right? And he continues to, you know, we say that. You know, that with Jesus, then we it was complete revelation, right? But we continue to understand what that means every passing year, right? And we've been developing that knowledge since then, okay? Because God has said everything in his word, word with a capital letter, right? And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Right? We hear from the Gospel of John. God spoke. And that was Jesus, right? In many ways and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, Christ. The Son of God made man. Is the Father's one perfect and unsurpassable word. In him he has said everything, and there will be no other word than this one. Okay? There will be no further revelation. Right? And no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, now there are, and the church has recognized some private revelations. Right? It is not their role, however, these private revelations, it is not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully. Help live more fully, right? Christian faith cannot accept revelations that claim to surpass or correct the revelation of which Christ is a fulfillment. So with Jesus coming into the world, it was God's word, and it's the complete revelation of his plan. Right? So, now that we've kind of had a detour through the catechism and you know, see where Jesus kind of fits in and how he fits in, let's go back to how do we know God? How do we love him? Well, how do we know anybody, right? And we're talking about a personal relationship, right? And that's the relationship we want to have with God. Well, we become friends, right? And the definition of friends from Webster is that a person whom one loves, with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, right? And friends are important and a wonderful part of life. Okay? And we must choose them carefully. How many true friends does anybody have? How many true friends do you think you have? You know, and I can tell you from my own experience, you know, it's usually you can count them, you know, with both hands, and you probably have fingers left over, right? These are like people that you just, I mean, there's just something special that you know, that you can count on them. They're loyal. They're there for you. They'll do whatever for you and you for them and that sort of thing, right? We have many acquaintances, but we have few true friends, right? But I will say also that Jesus must be among those few fingers that you count, right? He's got to be in the mix, because that's really one true friend that we should try to have. Right? How do we make friends? Well, the basic characteristics are these, right? I want to be friends with somebody. Well, I'm interested in that person or have similar interests, right? I strive to know them better. I care about them. I want to spend time with them. I enjoy spending time with them and sharing with them, right? I miss them when I'm not with them, right? Now, some people are better at making friends than others, right? Okay. I didn't get all the requirements when I was doled out here's how to make friends, right? It takes me a while to warm up to anybody, right? It's just, that's just how I am. You know, I'm just a basic shy person, okay? But that's, right? I mean, that's how you make friends. You just kind of, these characteristics and some others that we could name, right, that you could probably name. So how do I make friends with Jesus? Well, it's the same thing, right? He's another human being, right? He happens to be God, but he's human. Now we can relate to him. It's the same type of aspect, right? So I got to be interested in him. I have to seek him. I have to try to know him better. How am I going to do that? Well, there's plenty of resources to know Jesus and about Jesus, right? Holy Scripture, prayer, worship, nature, other people, right? And there are other things, right? But those are some of the basic things, right? How can I become friends with Jesus if I don't go to church at all? Or pick up the Bible every now and then? Or the catechism, right? I want to, if I want to be friends with Jesus, I want to spend time with him, right? At church, at adoration, contemplation, whatever, right? I enjoy being with him. I want to share with him, right? All those things, right? I miss him, okay? Just like we do any other good friend, right? And Jesus wants to be our friend, right? Because what do we say? Jesus is God. And I said earlier, God always wants to be our friend. So Jesus wants to be our friend. And Jesus put it very plainly to us in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. And I put these all these verses in two slides to make it bigger, right? So, right? Because he told us on the night before he was to die, Jesus says this to us. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is my command to you. Love one another. He wants to be our friend, right? So, Jesus is my friend if, again, I'm interested in him, I seek him, I want to know him better, I spend time with him, I enjoy my time with him, I share with him, you know, especially my gratefulness, my challenges, all of that. I stay in communion with him, right? It takes effort. Would Jesus call me his friend? Well, here are some questions that we should ask ourselves that will answer that. Will Jesus call me his friend? Do I love my neighbor as Jesus loves me? Meaning everybody else, right? Not just your across the street neighbor or on the side neighbor, right? But meaning others. Do I love my fellow man like Jesus loves me? Do I obey his commandments? Do I understand the truths that he made to me from the Father, that he made known to me from the Father? And being chosen by Jesus, do I bear fruit that remains as I depend upon him through prayer? So these are just questions based on the verses we read from John 15, 12 through 17. And in terms of loving neighbor, we should consider these points. Jesus' love for us is the supreme standard for our love for one another. He's our model. And we can only love one another if we abide in Christ's love. And another very important aspect is that others that we are commanded to love are imperfect sinners just like I am. So if I can't love them, how do I expect people to love me? Because I'm just like them, right? You know, sometimes I tell Father Jim, I know this is being recorded, so I better maybe moderate this, but some things happen something happened, and I tell Father Jim, hey, we need to do this or that, you know, because I tell him, because I know how people are, because I'm one of them, you know. I know how all that goes, right? Right. Even though we're imperfect sinners, we need to find a way to love each other. And the other thing is that, in terms of loving neighbor, you know, Jesus didn't pick perfect people to be his apostles. Right? So that should give us great comfort. You know, we're in good company, right? Our neighbor is not perfect. We're not perfect, but we must love one another. So let's I think this thing keeps turning off. Let's listen to this. Thank you. We'll just move on. So, Jesus is my friend, right? He took me by the hand and leads me forth from this land, right? Jesus is just all right with me. And so from friendship, we move on to love. Right? How do we know Jesus? Well, it's in our friendship, right? We move on to love. And so the dictionary defines love as an intense feeling of deep affection. Right? And we know St. Paul's definition, right? From 1 Corinthians. Love is patient, love is kind, not jealous, not pompous, not inflated, not rude, does not seek its own interests, etc., right? So, love is a desire for the well-being of the other. It's a longing for the other. It's intense. In Song of Songs, we read, I belong to my lover, and my lover belongs to me. Right? We cannot stop thinking about the one we love. Right? And so, there is longing and desire for the one I love. You want to talk and share with them. Right? You want to see them. You want to be with them. Right? You want to spend time alone with them. Right? That's how it is when we're falling in love. But it's the very same thing about falling in love with Jesus, with God. Right? Just that those deep feelings that we have. We want to know and be close to those we love dearly forever. Right? And then we have to work at it, loving each other. Staying in love by doing the various things that we do and feel when we're falling in love. And so that's how it is with God as well, right? So how do I love Jesus? How do I love Jesus? Well, in the same way, right? In the same way that we make friends with him, but with more intensity, as the beloved, right? By staying in communion with him, with my faults and limitations, trying to love him as he loves me, although I could never love him as much as he loves me. But I need to work at it hard, right? Work at it hard. It's an everyday effort, right? You remember Godspell the musical, the song Day by Day, right? Three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly. Day by day, by day by day. It's an ongoing process, right? But it's the same process for us that are married, right? As with our loved one, with our spouse. It's a day-to-day process. Every day is a new challenge, right? And so it is with a relationship with God, with Jesus. Every day is a new challenge. There's pitfalls everywhere, right? So I'm remembering this lady we know very well at one of our parishioners. Came to Mass this morning, and she's wearing this sweatshirt. And the caption is, do not lead us into temptation, because we do very well on our own, right? Right? So it's a challenge, and we have to work at it. Work and work at it hard, day by day. It, as with everything else, and especially with our loved ones, right, and in our marriage, we have to put what's called sweat equity into it, right, into the relationship. You know, we want to do those very same things. We have to essentially, the way I see it, the way I think about it is, you have to be falling in love every day in the morning again, you know, to make it through that day and then fall in love again, you know, so keep that going, okay? Right? To keep his commandments, to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. We have to work at it. Also, I love Jesus by keeping his teaching to be a humble servant. And at the Last Supper, again, Jesus modeled for us how to be servants to all, especially the marginalized. You know, for I was hungry and you gave me food. We hear later in the gospel, right? I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger, an alien, and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me. Right? This is a checklist that Jesus gave us of the things that we need to do to gain eternal life, to be and to stay in his friendship and in his love. And fulfilling these teachings and commandments, he will say to us, "Well done, my faithful servant. For whatever you did to one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me." So how do I love Jesus? By trusting him. Right? The caption of the Divine Mercy says, "Jesus, I trust in you." By trusting in him. By telling him that I love him. When was the last time that I told him that I trust him? When was the last time that I told him that I loved him? Some questions that we should ask ourselves. Ooh, it didn't work again. So let's listen, let's reflect on, if I can find my cursor. Just do this. Let's reflect on how I loved. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I love you. This wonderful image of Jesus with the Lamb, it always intrigues me. And it's a wonderful image, right? But as I get older, it has a kind of a little different meaning for me. And just for me, okay? Because what I'm going to say, I don't want to offend anybody, you know. But just this is just for me. Jesus loves, just like he loves the little lamb, he loves old goats like me. He loves old goats like me. And so I trust him and I love him. Thank you very much. So I guess there's, if I open it up for questions. So if there's any questions, I'll be glad to hopefully answer them for you about the presentation or anything else. Yes, ma'am.
I was taking notes. I hope you weren't disturbed by that. But when you put up the scripture about God being wanting to be our friends, John 15, I don't know if you're familiar with Cleburne Cafeteria in Houston on Bissonnette. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on the cornerstone of the entrance, he has John 15:15. That scripture, it's written in Greek.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, every time I see that, it just kind of throws me back, you know, 2,000 years, and it just kind of makes it come alive. And when you hear it all the time, but when you see it in the text in which it was written.
Yes.
Really, more meaningful and, you know, inspiring.
Yeah.
Thank you for using that.
Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments? Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I meant to say as I went along, but in proofs of God and all of that, but there's so much beauty in that man and his strive to kind of give back to God or to respond to God. You know, man builds. So beauty of the old churches, right? Those big, magnificent churches. I mean, the beauty in the arts. And architecture, the arts, icons, paintings, poetry, music, and all of that, because it's our faith is very much connected with the senses, right? Because we're human, right? And human is all about senses, right? Lots of our symbolism is related to that, our senses, right? So. Music is very important to me. I connect just about anything with music, you know. And I use just a few songs, but there's so many that I could have used, and we could have just sat here and listened to songs that will tell the same message that I was trying to give, you know, because it's just, and particularly about love. If you look at it, most, I'm not going to say that all, but most love songs, if you take away the secular concept of them, it's just also about God, because it's about that love relationship. Okay, you know. So, music is important to me. That's why I incorporated it into this, because to me, there's things that I couldn't even begin to say, but can be really well said. You know, by a song that most people will know. You know, so But thank you very much.
Could have used some more saxophone, I think.
Yes. Yeah. 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 More cowbell.
Yeah. More cowbell.
Yes.
I think the interesting thing for me, it was so strange for whatever reason. I was taken back to when Camille and I were dating. I don't know why this happened, but this whole thing, because I was a senior, she was a junior in high school, and so when I went away to college, before cell phones and everything,
yes,
we had no money, so we wrote letters.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about that and reading those letters. Nothing like being there holding her,
mm-hmm.
but there was this amazing longing to be wanting to.
Yes.
Be.
Yeah.
And so I think about that in this whole concept, yeah, of, you know, how do we get to know? But there was work. I had to work at writing those letters. It took a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she reply?
Yes. Oh, more than I did is the problem.
Yeah.
Another letter.
Yeah, yeah.
Another letter.
Yeah.
But that was interesting because the whole thing about, you know, we can read about him, we'll see the spirit, but
yeah,
we have that connection, and there are things that draw you closer to someone, and but it's ultimately wanting to be with them.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
And then trying to, and now taking that and trying to put it in context of, okay, what do I need to do more in order to get that kind of relationship with Jesus?
Right. Right. So yeah.
It may have been the music that did that.
Well, of course, our relationship with Jesus is based a lot on prayer, contemplation, meditation. And getting together and worshiping is a community, you know, and so we really feel God's presence in those moments, you know, for us, and this is how we continue to build our relationship. Yes, sir.
The point that you made, I was thinking that you really have to work at it on a daily basis. I can relate to it, you know, in our marriage life, but it's the same thing in our vocation with the priesthood, brotherhood, or religious.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
You've got to be more basic.
Yeah.
You've got to work at it, and some days are not so good, and other days,
yeah,
are pretty good.
Exactly. Exactly.
You just got to have to continue.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Celebrate.
Persevere. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
And I love Lucy's dimples.
I saw her face when the picture popped up, and she didn't know she was coming up. Yeah, and I guess that was part of my intent is to tell us, to show us, to bring about clearly that our relationship with Jesus is just like a relationship with any one of us. You know, I mean, he God became man so that we could have that type of relationship with Him, and so we need to connect it to our everyday lives. You know, and that's how it needs to be. I hope I don't get in trouble when I get home. Well, if there's no other questions, then I thank you very much. And